Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I'm going to talk to you today about the coming blessings. There's blessings coming. You've already got, how many of you have already received blessings from the Lord? Yeah. Well, more blessings are coming. Just tell your neighbor, more blessings are coming. Amen. But before we do that, I want to pause just for a moment. And I personally want to give thanks to God for the overturning of the Roe versus Wade. To help protect innocent babies in the womb, it is a victory for life. And the child in the womb is from God. And it is to be protected rather than being a choice of a legal matter. And but as you know, this ruling does not abolish abortion. It does not abolish abortion. It moves it out of the federal level into the state level for the individual states to use their democracy in that state to regulate how abortion is supposed to look. And so it is, like I said, it's not abolished. But with that being said, I want to declare that this nation needs God. Yeah. This nation needs help from God. This nation needs to turn to God. There's so many things that God wants this nation to do. And we limit ourselves by some of the decisions that we make. And I've got news for you. Politics will not save you. Politics are not the savior. You should not be, Christians should not be governed by politics. You ought to be governed by this right here. If your politics fit, fine. If your politics don't, then get rid of the politics. You with me? This right here is what we need to go through. So with that being said, we just want to say, Lord, save this nation. Turn this nation to you. Bring us to the place of complete repentance and full dependence upon you following your word. Ronald Reagan said, I've noticed that everyone who is for abortion has already been born. And Mother Teresa says this, it is poverty to decide a child must die so you can live as you wish. But see, those two are great things. But I want to know what God has to say about it. And God says, the Spirit of the Lord has made me in the life, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. It says this, that I knew you before you was in your womb. It also says, I formed you in your inner parts. I knitted you together in your mother's womb. I praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful and wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, your eyes saw me in the unformed substance. Read your Bible, hear God's word, and follow God's word. Even when you vote. Amen? Amen. But we thank God again. Yeah.
I was sitting over there and the Lord just invaded and spoke to me. He said, these men of the Supreme Court did something that will change history. Adam failed to stand up to Satan. Those men stood up and declared the truth. No matter what the cost, they spoke that truth, that we are not God. We have no right to take a life like that. The woman was deceived. And that's what we're hearing now. This is my body. I do whatever I want. No, your body belongs to God. And those men declared that. And no matter what the states might do, the highest court in our land went after God. And he says, because of that, your nation will be blessed. And it will not fall. There is only a few nations in the world that have banned abortion. All these other nations are going the other way. This decision is the beginning of the salvation of America.
God bless you. Thank you, brother, for sharing. So, say, blessings are coming. Overflowing blessings are coming. Now, here's the question. Do you want to be in on them?
Yes.
Do you want to be in on them?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to talk a little bit about. We're going to talk a little bit about why we're not in some of them already. But the kingdom of God is all about blessing his people. He wants to bless his people. He has blessed his people. And he wants us to experience the fullness of the blessings that he has for us. Do you believe that? See, the reason we get blessed is so not just so we can have them, but it's so we can give them away. Our blessings are not just for us, it's for other people. See, his blessings come to our lives so we can see people be born again, so we can see people healed, so we can see people delivered. That's the reason we're blessed. Blessed beyond measure, but more measure. The measure is bigger than we are experiencing. But they're coming. They're coming. They're already in place. They really are. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 4, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. They handed him the book of Isaiah, and then he turned to this place, and he began to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim the release of captives, to the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He received and he was sent. He received, then he was sent. He received the anointing of God, then he was sent. He received the Spirit of the Lord being upon me, and he was sent. We are a sent people. Jesus said this over in John chapter 20, verse 21. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. It's red letters. As the Father has sent me, what's he sent you for? To be anointed. To be able to give good news to the world. All news is not good news. We listen to things on TV that are not good news. It's just news. To proclaim liberty to those that have been captivated. That's what he sent you and I to do. To bring freedom to people. To bring release to the captivated. To get people to see again that has not seen. To get people to be free from their broken heart and be healed from their broken heart. Jesus said, I've been sent, I'm sending you. Same way he sent me, I'm sending you. But that's two words in that passage. In that verse, I should say. He has sent me is one. Sent me is one word. I send you is another word. Sent me is, he is the fullness of God's power. He is God's power. He is the fullness of God's power. He is the fullness of authority. Sent you means that I have delegated you to go operate in my power. He's sending us to operate in his power. We are not the power, but he is. So he has sent us to operate in his power, to communicate his authority, to manifest the power of God that he has sent us with. Y'all with me? So we see that. But God's blessings are abounding, but we do have to respond. We do have to respond. Most of us are pre-programmed by our experiences that a lot of these things in the Bible don't work. pre-programmed because we've experienced something that we tried, that we wanted to do, and it didn't work out. And it didn't come to the place of what we thought it was going to happen. So we get pre-programmed with a downer, with something that's negative about God. We get pre-programmed in those things by the experiences that we have and by what we've been taught. See, God wants us to operate in the fullness of who He is in His power, not in our own, in His power. See, all we have is just our weakness. We don't have anything other than Him. Without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, try to breathe. You're not going to breathe without Him. You understand what I'm saying? So we're pre-programmed with these things, and we create obstacles that hinder us from receiving what God has already provided. We create obstacles in our lives that prevent us from receiving what God has already provided. Does that make sense? Let me over in Ephesians 1:3, it says this. He has blessed us with every. How many is every? All. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? All of them. Are you experiencing all of them? Mm-mm. Then he goes on in 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So what's He granted to you and I? Say the word. Everything that pertains to what? Life and godliness. He's already given it. See, with those two verses, it says it's past tense. It has been done. It is available. It's been available. It's for you. It's been extended to you and I. What? All the spiritual blessings and everything that pertains to godliness. Everything that pertains to who He is. Everything. Not just a little bit. You don't have a little bit of Jesus. You've got Him all. You've got all of Him. You have all of who He is inside you and I. But the question is, are we living the fullness of it? And the answer to that is what? No. So what are the obstacles have we in our lives that hinders us? We're going to get to this. It says, some people say that these things about all the spiritual blessings and everything's been granted us pertaining to life and godliness, you know, it's not possible to live that. That's a view, but it's not God's view. I think it's possible to live everything that He's given us. Amen. I think the fullness of who He is inside us is possible to live through us. Amen. But we have these obstacles. Some people will say, well, if we just work hard enough and do enough and pray enough, then maybe we'll be able to manifest it. It's all works-based. Yeah, you know, the thing with Peter and John when they healed the guy that was lame, y'all remember him? And he was wanting the money. He was just wanting money. I just want money just to feed me for a day, maybe. I just want some money. Just give me some money. I said, we don't have any money. We don't have any silver. We don't have any gold. But what we have, we'll give you. What we have, we'll give you. What we have, we'll give you. Then he said, rise up and walk. Reached and got his hand, and up came the lame man and started walking. That's great. We all want to celebrate that. But see, just a little bit later, they're at the synagogue and headed to the synagogue. And a lot of people have seen the miracle that's happened. So everybody's coming around them, just clamoring just over them. And they have to turn. This is what amazes me about the knowledge of where these guys knew where they were. And they said, why are y'all making over us like it's us? It's our power that he was raised to be a walking man. Why do you think it wasn't us? They had something from him, but it was him that did it. Because their mindset was, I don't have anything in the natural, and I don't have any funds that will change your problem. But what I've got, I will give you. And he gives them the word of God and speaks life into the legs of this man and reaches out for him to stand up. Now, I'm in agreement with it, so I'll help you get up. I'll give you a start. So he helps him up, and then there he is, walking, jumping, and leaping. So you begin to see that, and then they're all around him, and then all of a sudden, you know, the enemy, after something like that is done, the enemy doesn't leave it alone. The enemy gets over here and tries to puff up the heads of the minds of Peter and John. Oh, look what you did. Ooh, man, you're a powerful man. Oh, my goodness. Oh, look at this. You're a powerful man. And they said, why are y'all making over us as if it was us that caused this man to be healed? Why? They knew their place. They knew the power. They knew the power wasn't theirs. It was his. They were just willing to give it away. They were willing for him to do it through them. They didn't have any hesitation. Over in Isaiah 54, and this is where we're probably going to stay for a few minutes, but Isaiah 54, I'm going to read this out of two different, one's a translation and one's a paraphrase. But Isaiah 54, one is this New American Standard. He said, "Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no children. Break forth into joy. Break forth into joy. Shouting and crying aloud, you who have not travailed, who have given birth. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married women, says the Lord." Now you look at this and say, Oh, I'm gonna have a bunch of kids. Well, you have to read on. You have to read on. Enlarge the tents, enlarge the place of your tents, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings and spare not, lengthen the cords. And straighten your pegs. Out of the Message, which is a paraphrase, says this: sing, barren woman who has never had a baby. Fill the air with your song. You who've never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than those who are childbearing women. God says so. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Clear out some of the ground because you're about to be expanded. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep because you're going to need a lot of elbow room for your growing family. Then he goes on and says this: how so? You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to be able to influence whole nations. You're going to be able to resettle cities that have been abandoned and forgotten. You're going to be able to reestablish those things that have been forgotten. I mean, God doesn't say, hey, look, you know, your problem is not that you haven't had a child. Your problem is you haven't seen beyond not having a child. You have not seen the blessings that I have to give you. You need to get ready for them. Amen. You need to prepare to get them. Amen. You need to expand. You need to clear the ground, make the ground more available for building what God wants you to build. Amen. To put up what God wants you to put up. Amen. Said, your problem is not this. Your problem is not, you're not seeing the blessings that I have for you, that I want to give you. That's when he said, spread out, think big. He's changing, change how you think about this. Think big. He begins to reveal the reason why their thinking is so small. You ready for it? Here it is. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be ashamed. Shame. Fear and shame. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. Woo! Disappointment. Fear, shame, disappointment. Fear, shame, disappointment. Fear that we're going to be humiliated. Shame that we have in our life. And disappointment that we've had in our life. We've been disappointed. How many of you have been disappointed? It's good to see you, brother. So we have these things that God is saying, these are your obstacles. These are the things that are keeping you from connecting with what I've already done for you. He goes on and he says, you're going to forget your humiliation. I'm going to bring you to the place where you'll forget the humiliation in your youth and the indignities of being a widow. It will fade from your memory. Then he says, why? Because I, your maker, I am your husband. I, your maker, I'm your husband. I'm your bridegroom. That's what he said. Here's the reason I'm declaring this, he says, because I'm your provider. I'm your provider. I'm the one. See, he's everything. He's everything. I'm your provider. Then he goes on, he said, and his name is God of the angel armies. God of the angel armies. So who controls the angel armies? He does. That's good stuff. It really, really is. I want to say that we have got to tackle this thing about our fear, our shame, and our disappointments in life. We get disappointed in life sometimes, and we don't step out anymore because we got disappointed before, and we're so afraid of being disappointed again, so we protect ourselves from it. Let me see. Mike, Duncan, come up here just a second. I haven't talked to you about this, so don't disappoint me. No, I'm messing with you. You ever heard of the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah.
You ever seen the Heisman Trophy?
I have.
You ever seen the stance of the Heisman? Of the position? Show me. Go ahead, do that again. You know what this is called in football? You know what it's called. What is that called?
Stiff arm.
Say it with me. Stiff arm. Do that again. Yeah. All right. He did. Thank you, Mike. See, now in football, he's stiff-arming somebody that's trying to stop him from reaching his goal. That's a good thing. But here's a problem. A stiff arm can be used to stop God. Why? I've already protected myself. I don't want to be out there on a limb anymore. So the blessings that God wants to give me, I'm stiff-arming the blessings. Why? Because I'm already in this routine that I'm used to. And I feel protected, but I know that if I step out, see, if you feel protected, you just do anything. But you feel protected by your own protection. That's when we stiff-arm things that God wants to do with us and do for us. So we stiff-arm the blessings a lot of times because of shame and because of disappointment. So I'm going to say this, and then we'll move on to this thing that I want to accomplish today, that I feel like the Lord wants to accomplish. See, faith is the currency of heaven. But we need to understand something about our faith. We need to understand first that, everybody say, I need to hold on for this. I need to hang on for this. I'm telling you, hang on for this. We're waiting for God to respond. And I'm telling you, God does not respond to faith. That's what you got to hang on to. Wait a minute. What did he say? Listen, God is not a responder. God is he is the initiator. The faith that we have to give him has come from him. You did not come up with faith yourself. Matter of fact, it says how several translations have, it says how faith in God. The best translation of that is have the faith of God. Amen. Have the faith of God. So you can't muster up faith. Faith comes because he's, and in Romans it said he has allotted each one of you a measure of faith, which he's given you. He has given you the faith. So if you have any faith, he's given you that faith. We're just not using it. See, God is—he's not a responder. He's the initiator. Our faith brings us to a place that we access things that he's already done. He's already in tomorrow. He's already in eternity. He's already in the next day. He's in the next day. He's in the next week. He's already there. Why? He's everywhere. His provisions are already there. See, we try to use faith and see. Let's see if he can respond to this. He's not the responder. He's the initiator. He initiated loving you. He initiated you having love that love other people. You didn't come up with that. And neither did I. Try loving somebody that's real hard to love without God's love in you. Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. But he says, have the faith of God. Have complete Jewish Bible says it this way, and it's over in Mark 11:22. Have the kind of trust that comes from God. To trust him, you have the ability to trust him because he's given you trust. Connecting our faith to what he's already provided just gives us access to what he's already done. Y'all okay? I'm going to jump on. I got so much to say, but that's the one thing that I know that I'm supposed to do today. He says, go back. He said, I want you to sing before you get it. I want you to fill the air with song before you get what I have for you. Fill the air with your song. Clear the land. Get your tents out. Enlarge them. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Put your pegs down deep. Don't be afraid. Don't be going, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to deal with this shame again. Don't hold back because you're not going to be disappointed. He said, you'll forget and then you won't remember the things that kept you trapped in this situation. And I'm going to turn the page. Our fear and our shame and our disappointment. Being disappointed by people, by things. Being disappointed. Having the shame. And Jesus said, he has bore our shame. You know, when he was on the cross, he's painted like he's got a loincloth on. But that's not the truth. He was naked. Mocked. Criticized. Spit on. Abused, all out in public. Do you think that's shameful? He took your place. He took my place. He took my shame. He took your shame. And yet we were held back in shame. He said, I've already carried that for you. I bore that for you. Mephibosheth. Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, 5 years old, being held by a nurse. Saul and Jonathan are in battle, and they're killed. News comes back. The nurse hears about it. She's wanting to protect the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul. In haste, she begins to run, and she drops him. And when she drops the five-year-old, his feet become crippled, and he's crippled for life. Crippled for life. Grows up alone as an outcast. Grows up with the shame that he used, what he used to be, as being a prince in the kingdom of Israel. Now he's an outcast. Now he's a nobody. Now people don't even want him around. So he grows up with that, and then David becomes king. And David remembered that he and Jonathan cut a covenant together, that they would take care of each other and take care of each other's family. And David asked the question, is there anybody left in Saul's, any descendants of Saul or Jonathan? Is there anybody left that I can bless? And then one person says, yes, Mephibosheth. He is Jonathan's son. Well, where is he? Listen to this. He's in where? Lodabar. What does it mean? Land of nothing. He's in a land of nothing. He's in a land of no blessings. He's in a land of no provisions. He's in a land of nothing. He's in a land of limitations. David says, bring him. Go get him. Bring him here. David makes a promise to him, says, you will always have, when he comes in, he got the picture, they're on crutches, and his feet are broken, his feet are damaged, he's a handicapped, he's a cripple, he can't move around, he's dragging himself along the way, and he gets to the king, fearing that his life may be taken. But David's promise to him said, no, I made a covenant with your father. You will always eat at my table. Here's the point. Mephibosheth means exterminator of shame. Exterminator of shame. So every time the king's table was set, he had to drag his place, drag his body, and drag his feet to the place of getting to the place that were the food that's already been prepared for him to eat. One translation said, or one version of his name, meaning it said, despising the shame. Putting an end to the shame. He put an end to his shame every time he was called to the table. And it wasn't just once a day, it was three times a day. Every time they ate. He would get to play, but he said, I will not let it. It might be that I'm dragging this thing on, but I will go eat. Listen to this. I will go eat. I will go take part of what the king has already provided for me. Amen. Disappointed in everything about his life, not turning out when he was 5 years old. He couldn't help it. But had huge disappointment. He left the disappointment of being in a land of nothing. He left the land of nothing to come eat at the table with the king. The point is this. I don't know in here who it is in here, but you have carried shame, fear, and disappointment long enough. And if that's you, I want you to be ministered to. I really do. I want you to accept the invitation from the king himself to come eat of the blessings that he's already prepared for you. It's not okay, here comes Mephibosheth, we've got to rustle up something. Here comes John. We got to get something. It's already prepared. See, he's not a responder. He's an initiator. He initiates. Everything he has for you has been provided. Everything he has for you has already been provided. We're just not enjoying it because shame keeps us back. Disappointment keeps us back. I'm so disappointed in this that I can't move beyond. Yes, you can, because the invitation is from the King, and he says, I want you to come because there's a covenant that I want you to enjoy. I've already given it to you. I want to give you access to it. So if you're experiencing shame and you're experiencing disappointment and it has held you back and it's caused you to stiff arm the blessings of God because you're already on your way and you stiff arm the blessings of God, I want you to stand up. I want you to get rid of that today. I want you to stand to your feet and say, okay, today's the end of this shame for me, and today is the end of this disappointment. I'm going to go eat at the King's table. God bless you. Anybody else, just stand to your feet. And if you're standing, I want you to make your way to this place called an altar. So it's between you and God. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and anybody else. It's between you and God. It might be the shame of our youth. See, the shame of our youth is like, it's something that we've done when I was very little that I'm just totally ashamed of. And it's followed you all your life. Or it might be something that you were mistreated when you was growing up somehow, and you got so disappointed that somehow that's been a ball and chain for you to be able to enjoy God in the richness of who he says you are. Anybody else? Or maybe you don't recognize it. But maybe there's some blessings that God's been wanting to give you, but you know you've stiff-armed it. Because of whatever reason, there's been a stiff arm to receive it. See, this is a door, every one of you that have come to the altar, this is a door that you're going to walk out of. God has given you this open door to walk out of this shame, to walk out of this disappointment, to walk out of this fear that has captured you in your life. I'm telling you, God's blessings are far beyond what you're currently experiencing. And he wants to give you more. They're already yours. But he wants you to be able to have his faith to come to him, unashamed, no fear, and no disappointment, and say, I'm here. I want to experience what you have for me, the fullness of what you have for me. If you don't mind, just everyone stand, and we want to pray for these. They're already in a conversation with their King. They're already bowing before him. They're already coming to him. They limped up. They drugged themselves up to this place. And said, yes, I want to experience everything that you have for me. Forgive me for holding back. Forgive me for being afraid to step out when you wanted me to step out. Forgive me for stiff-arming your blessings that you've been willing to let me experience, but I was unwilling to receive them because I felt so unworthy. So all of you that are kneeling, all of you that are here, walk out of that door. Walk through that door. Walk out of that place. because he is the Redeemer. He is the one who restores. He is the one who gives far beyond what was ever taken from you. Today is a new day for you. Today is a new time for you. No longer will you be unable to clear the ground. No longer will you be unable to expect the blessings of God and receive the blessings of God. No longer will you be unable to spread out. No longer will you be unable to think big. So this is a new time. The enemy would want to trap us in shame, trap us in a disappointment, maybe by a leader, maybe by a parent, maybe by whomever, but great disappointment. He said, no, you walk out of that today. You walk out of that room today. And no longer will you stiff arm God's blessings. Because it's no longer your way of doing things. It's no longer you protecting yourself. It's no longer you looking out for you and covering you because you felt like no one else would. It's no longer that for you. Father, we just ask you right now that the work that you're doing by the Holy Spirit, we ask you, Father, that it will go so deep in these, and Lord, anybody else that is standing that is making the same decision, we ask you that it would go so deep in them that it would never occur to them ever again that they can't have what you want to give them. Receive us now as we stand before you. Lord, you said even in the presence of my enemies, you've already prepared a table for us to come and eat. So we have nothing to fear. Now, you stand to your feet and just receive what he wants to give you this moment. There'll be other times that he just wants you to walk in faith to this place of saying, yes, God, I'm coming. I want to receive what you've already provided. See, the way Jesus did it, everything that we had shame for, he took. And the great exchange is this: he took your shame in order to give you his glory. What an exchange. He took your sin, my sin, in order to give you his righteousness. So we go from shame to glory. Just by saying yes to him. Let's give God praise. Okay, what did he say at the beginning of that chapter? He says, fill the air with your song because your blessings are forthcoming. So, who's going to sing? All of us? Yes, Lord. That saved.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.